can step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 525. I'm Lisa Sheps. I'm joined by Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
The co-host with the mo-host.
Hello.
Hello. You are listening to us on KOOP, HD1, HD3, Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. Please, just stay right where you are.
Show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
Oye, ¿qué pasó? Blackout, blackout.
It is Wednesday, July 17th, 2019. On the show today, we have Georgetown Palace Theater and their show Forever Plaid. And we'll also talk to the Vortex Summer Youth Theater and their show Alice's Wonderland. And of course, we will have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, San Antonio, Billings, Montana, and Points North. Stick with us. Blackout, blackout.
Yeah, I laughed.
When
everything went down this weekend, I was like, do you think Lisa will play Blackout this week? Sure enough, I did.
Blackout is from the section of In the Heights when they experience a...
Guess what?
Blackout.
Blackout.
Not only that, two of them. Blackout,
yeah.
Blackout. So here was something interesting. I wanted to play the night the lights went out on Broadway.
Yes.
Assuming that it would be in Movin' Up, the musical.
It's not.
It's not. They didn't. That wasn't part of the musical. So.
I don't remember. Yeah, that's kind of funny.
That's the night the lights went out on Broadway. So we're going to talk.
I love that you just went all Billy Joel right there.
I did.
That was really kind of cool.
I actually was backstage at one of his concerts at the Madison and the Square and the Garden.
That MSG?
MSG. I sprinkled it all with MSG. You know they did discover that MSG is not bad for you, right?
Oh.
It's true. Okay. Checking in with you. We
Hello.
Missed you last week. You weren't
I know.
Feeling well.
No. My knee. I had I did a partial dislocation on my kneecap. So,
a PDL.
Know, yeah, uh-huh. I know. And I was doing better. And part of it is I don't wear the brace all the time. But then I hit it again. And the whole thing just was like, you are not moving or walking or doing anything today, my dear. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Actually, it was like almost 3 days of it.
But there you go. So let's.
But you know what? Stuff happens. Life happens. Old age.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
So let's. Why is that funny?
Because we're both old.
No.
Look, and
everybody,
all young.
Everybody here in the studio audience went, yeah. Oh my God, she's mad.
No, it's because they're all really young.
Let's introduce all these voices that we're hearing.
Yeah, there's like a lot
first
of
First of all, we
here.
Have Isaac Bowie. Isaac Bowie, get up to that microphone and say hello.
Hi.
There you go. That was, you did a great job. We have Avery Baker.
Hi.
We have Abigail Lehman.
Hi.
Okay, now let's see if I can remember the order that these are. We have Will Tabares. Am I pronouncing that right?
That is correct. Wow,
Tabares. Tabares?
No, you're right.
I was right. Okay, I thought you corrected me. We have Billy Gilbert.
Hello.
We have Sonny Bushak.
Hello.
And we have Buddy Novak.
Hello.
And somewhere back here we have Rachel Britton. Hello. You could just yell.
Hi.
And then we have Sonny's mom that I never got her name. So you're just going to be
Bunny's mom.
Buddy's mom. Buddy, Sonny, Buddy, Sonny.
We're interchangeable.
Bunny. Yeah, interchangeable. All right. So did somebody use this microphone here? Did we hear that?
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, it works.
I
awesome.
Heard it.
Awesome. So, you heard me play Blackout, Blackout. Does everybody know that there was a blackout in New York City?
You.
On a Saturday
yes.
night, right before curtain of the, there's some theaters in New York that happen. And Saturday night is like the biggest night. And it was interestingly.
During the biggest month and biggest, one of their biggest times in the summer.
And it was, 32 years to the day of the 1977 blackout.
Isn't that funny?
So now here's something interesting. I know a person who moved to New York on June 21st, 1977.
I know who that person is.
And they lived in New York and had a job at the top of the World Trade Center. And less than a month later, the the blackout happened, and that was their experience. It was 104 degrees that day in 1977. It was me.
That's why I said I knew
and
that
I just
person.
Moved to New York, and my roommate was he was designing a production of Ghost, Henrik Ibsen's Ghost, downtown. We lived on 14th and 3rd, and he was walking down 4th Avenue to get to the theater. It might have been the New York Theater Workshop at the time, but he said when the lights went out, they went out street by street in like rows.
It does. It's like a weird grid. It's eerie.
And we lived two blocks from the Con Edison, and Con Edison is the electric company in New York City. Mm-hmm. And their building throughout the 3 days of blackout was lit up.
Yeah. That's so. That can I tell you that you and I had that conversation because when I got trapped during Hurricane Sandy and we had no power for 14 yeah. days, all I heard was the neighbor's generator next door keeping the wine cellar cool.
Now, that would not bother me. I think they had
and
their
no
priorities
one was
in
there.
Exactly
I was like,
the right place.
Yeah, no.
I'm all for it. So anyway, we had this blackout. It was anything west of Broadway in the Upper West Side from like, I know Madison Square Garden, so from like the 30s to the 70s, anything west of Broadway went out. So there were three theaters east of Broadway and they went on. Mm-hmm. That was like Come From Away, what's the Moulin Rouge? Moulin Rouge was out.
I was like, From Away was out. They were outperforming in the street.
No, Come From Away. Oh, yeah. Come From Away. No, what's the other one? Be More Chill. Yeah. For some reason.
I was like, Come From Away was two. Because Hades Town and Come From Away did a lot in the street.
I get those
posted.
Two mixed up. And Waitress. So there is.
And it went down from like, I think it started at 32nd Street. Yeah, J-Lo was like, all getting down in Madison Square Garden and choom, the lights, the power.
Yep.
They went. She already rescheduled. She did her show on Monday night.
So there, when you go to offstageonair.com after I post the show, you can click the link and you can see some of these cell phone videos. You'll see Hades Town. You'll see Come From Away. And everybody's just having so much fun. So right now, here's a hint or here's a test. How many shows are currently running on Broadway right this very second? Anybody?
I know okay. How many Ram versus Rand. So
head shaking doesn't work on the radio.
No, sorry. No.
30. And guess how many were canceled?
Dun, dun, dun. Like all but...
Right? 26. Mm-hmm. All but four.
I was like, all but four.
Hamilton, Wicked, Harry Potter, Lion King, all of them. The ones that were east, I know I have... Oh, Be More Chill, Beautiful, and Beetlejuice were the three east
of Broadway. I
thought it
was only three that ran.
Well, they're just... I realize that those are only the three... Oh, Burn This.
Burn This, okay.
Or as I like to call it, Boin' This.
Boin' This.
Boin' This, darn it. Okay. So that's the blackout. Has anybody here ever experienced a blackout?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So we didn't have the internet back then. Not that it would have done any good, but we did. We for 3 days in 1977. I remember writing letters by candlelight. It was actually quite sweet.
We entertain ourselves, but you know what? I think it's because we grew up with no computers or any of that stuff. So I know how to entertain. I like to read.
I don't even know what a computer is.
Right. So I still write letters. Do you still write letters?
I don't.
Did you know in 19th century Russia
they write letters. That show may be done at a theater coming here to Austin next year.
Be so exciting.
So
it's a Great Comet. They're all looking at each other mouthing.
Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 18 whatever.
Yes.
I am rarely moved to tears by reading a newspaper article. But I was moved to tears by this article. And I need to thank Adam Roberts, incredible musical director here, right now feverishly working on probably Summer Stock Austin. But he sent me an article from the New York Times called Transgender Opera Singers Find Their Voice. And these are transgender opera singers finding their voice. That's what it says.
Really? So the title it was pretty right on.
But it's interesting. As a transgender person myself, I find it just, this was so heartening. Now, opera is a huge deal for a trans person because if you are transitioning from a gender that you were not assigned at birth, your voice changes in one way or another. So if you are assigned female at birth and you take testosterone, your voice drops. So you can imagine if you're a trained, working, professional mezzo-soprano and you transition, that's a scary thing for someone and their career. Conversely, estrogen has no effect on vocal cords. So if you are a woman and your voice is a baritone, can also be a problem for getting work. But this article chronicles four very extremely brave people that trained opera singers that decided that they couldn't live anymore the way they were, and they decided to transition. And it's interesting. And this actually chronicles a man named Holden, and I forgive me if I'm mispronouncing your name because I know you listen. Holden Matagame or Matagame here in Austin, Texas. And I didn't get to see where this was being performed. It was an opera called The Good Country here in Austin. And this is a person that was assigned female at birth, is now male, and underwent. So this chronicled four people, some that took hormones and dealt with the voice change, and others that didn't take hormones and did different things. For instance, this person went through hormone therapy, knowing full well that that could destroy their career.
Yeah.
But they went in working with their voice teacher and trained their voice as it came through. And let me see if I can...
Because I was wondering that. Do you go in and, I mean, I guess you have technique, but you go in and totally retrain, don't you?
One would have to. So so during his training, this was from the voice teacher, and her last name is Weiss, and her first name is Stephanie. Stephanie Weiss. She said, Mr. Madigan had a breakthrough while working on a Mozart aria. He was having trouble, as many young tenors do, gracefully reaching the high notes, Miss Weiss remembered. So she gave him a few tips, including which vowels to hold as his voice climbed into range. And they had this aha moment, and he started to hit these tenor notes that he never could before. I believe he was a mezzo-soprano prior to... Yeah, so
yeah.
Amazing. This person had became an activist. I need to find this. And his website includes essays on why it is rude to ask a trans person what their birth name was. And FAQ to end all FAQs. I can't wait to read this, which includes a series of questions not to ask, but I'll answer anyway. And these, again, as a trans person, very important things to know. But so
what a great
as
title,
someone that lost their career because of transition, I'm so... pleased and driven to tears when I hear about these people that and this was just 10 years ago, this could never have happened. And I'm so good. The opera, as I said, was called Good Country Here. It's by composer Keith Allegretti and the librettist Cecilia Raker. It's based on a true story of Charlie Parkhurst, a stagecoach driver who lived as a man but was discovered as after his death to have been born a woman. So other people, person that was assigned male at birth and transitioned to female, did not take hormones, kept their voice low, and they played male roles. And what's interesting for this person is they found a way in their own heart to be able to portray as a performer this thing that they are, which is a man. And she would put on a beard, and she said, you know what? It's just a role. And it's pretty amazing, and she's doing really, really well. Her name is Lucas. Miss Lucas is what it says. I'm sure there's a first name in here somewhere. Yeah, don't know. And she said, I'll just go and put a beard on. Clearly, it is a disguise. It's not bringing you back to an old life, which is really huge for a trans person. Mm-hmm. So then... other people decide to wait on hormones. It's an amazing article. There's a link to it.
Who wrote it?
It's written by Michael Cooper, and I don't know what it's in the music section, the arts section.
Okay.
So thank you so much to Adam Roberts. You know, I get, again, as a trans person, how many times? That's four times I've said that. But I get everybody that knows me, I get every trans article. Like anytime there's a trans article, I get it, and I'm bored with it, quite frankly. So when this one came up through Facebook, which I never looked at.
So I have four that I have to send you. Want me to hit them now?
So I was all ready getting ready to press delete, and I saw transgender opera singer, and I went, oh, that's piqued my interest.
Wait a minute.
And I was literally tearing up as I read that. So I would encourage folks to pick that up and look at it.
What a great piece.
Yeah, it's amazing. So the Emmy noms. Anybody TV watchers here?
Yes, I'm raising my hand on air.
Yeah, good.
Vocally.
Little bit? Who said little bit? Shame on you. You should watch TV all the time.
That's why I love a DVR.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there were a lot of Broadway people and things that were part
stuff,
of the nominations.
Would we like to
17
call it.
Nominations for Fosse Verdon.
I know. Wow.
Which I'm not so sure about.
Well,
all
I did was, yeah, she was okay. I went to Sam.
I warmed up to her towards the end.
She had good episodes and bad episodes, yep. And sometimes she was characteristic and made Gwen a caricature instead of the person, and then agreed. Sometimes she was nail on. But Sam Rockwell, that man, woo!
Sam Rockwell was amazing.
Yeah, I saw him get nominated, and I was like, that's all I needed to see.
The woman that played Anne Rankine, Margaret Qualley, got a nomination,
I didn't either. I don't know if it's how they wrote her, but I was like, oh. And I have to tell you, I didn't look to see if Norbert got a nomination.
Did he not?
Because I normally can't stand him,
excellent.
And I fell in love with him on this show.
Alex Lacamoire got a nomination for music director of the episode "Life Is a Cabaret," which I think was the best episode.
Yes, it was.
It was really mm-hmm. amazing. Other people that got nominated: Billy Porter. For Pose, which I can't get into.
As a trans person, I can't get into it.
Also, Rent on Fox got 5 nominations.
Yeah, can't.
Nope.
Don't understand why.
I want to know what's in the goodie bags they were passing out.
And Documentary Now, which spoofed the company's cast recording documentary.
Yes.
Which was amazing.
Yes.
Did anybody else see that?
No,
we played.
I've heard about it, though.
We played some of it 1 week when you were out of town.
Well, I played it when I was here,
too. And then we played again. Yeah, we've been playing different clips from it. It is hilarious.
Funny. And if you haven't seen it, I would recommend watching the company recording documentary first. And then watching this.
Because
it's amazing.
I feel like we have links to both on our
site. We probably
do.
Other people, Tony Shalhoub.
Who doesn't love the mom?
Everybody. Laura Linney, Christina Applegate. Who does everybody remember that she was in Sweet Charity?
Yes. She broke her ankle. It was a whole lot of drama going on there.
It was a whole schmoo, as my friend Patty says. Let's see. Felicia Rashad, Cherry Jones, Jessica Lange. Lots of people. So I think it's testament to how great television is right now. I mean, there's so much quality work out there. Of course, there's still schlock, but but I'm going to watch the Emmys. How's that?
How about them apples?
How about them apples? We're, of course, running out of... did you see... has everybody seen the movie Life of Pi?
Yes. Have you read the book?
Haven't read the book.
Really?
Yeah.
Read the book.
Yeah.
It'll make the movie some... I was really familiar and had read the book before they even decided.
Because it's
to
a Roald Dahl, isn't it? Is it a Roald Dahl?
No.
No. Don't look at me like that. I thought it was.
He went dark.
So, Life of Pi is the story of an Indian family that runs a zoo. They decide to move to Canada, I think. They take a boat. The boat is hit in a storm. It capsizes. Everybody dies except for this kid and a 450-pound tiger in a lifeboat. And they spend like a month together on this lifeboat. And that's what the book and the movie are about. And so now it's a play playing in England right now in Sheffield, am I right?
I think that's where I read about it. Yeah. I thought this was kind of cool, and I actually could see it being a play.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt that way from reading the book, so I get it.
This is the tiger is being done by a puppet, and the puppet in this case sounds amazing. It takes 3 people to run it. And this time...
it's no King Kong.
I don't know. I don't know. You know what?
I would put
King Kong up against Warhorse any day, quite frankly.
You didn't see Kong.
I know. I'm just saying. That Warhorse was just so amazing.
Yeah, they're just
and
two very different
this
puppets,
is the too. Same puppet person
yeah.
that did Warhorse. His last name is Caldwell. I'm really good with last names. So this is 3 people take it. And what's unique about this, they didn't do in Warhorse and doesn't happen in most puppets. Probably did in King Kong. But there's a person inside, which makes reaction time much faster. So
no,
when
there wasn't.
When the tiger swipes his hand, it can happen as fast as a person swipes their hand. And what I love is they interviewed... Finn Caldwell by phone, and he said, "My horror is people calling my puppets cute." But I would never call the puppets. Did anybody see Warhorse?
Yeah, yes. I wouldn't say cute.
I saw yes, and several people shook their heads, which, as I mentioned, doesn't work on radio. Caldwell says, this is what we call a universal puppet, capable of everything that a live creature would be. The tiger has to be able to look seasick, attack with great speed, turn tight circles in a lifeboat.
It's pretty cool.
So amazing. So this is made from a material called plastazote. And I'm sure I'm pronouncing that
plastazote.
Right. Plastazote. But this, it is, again, playing in Sheffield, England at the Crucible Theater. I have, and it is it open? It's July 20th. It opens. Sounds amazing.
It does sound amazing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay.
I totally agree.
Well, good. I love that. Slave pay.
I was just about to go. Okay. What's? What are you talking
Sorry,
about?
Sorry. That was tasteless. Slave play. That major hit off Broadway is coming to Broadway at the Golden Theater, and it was written by Jeremy O'Harris, and they Well, I'll read this. Safe Play is intentionally outrageous, set in a group therapy workshop testing an imaginary technique called antebellum sexual performance therapy. So it's about three mixed race couples. It is very, they call it transgressive, which you don't usually hear describing a Broadway show because they're usually relatively safe, and this is far from safe. It's supposed to be really incredible. It starts preview September 10th. It opens October 6th, which everybody knows is 4 days after my birthday.
your birthday month?
And they are making 10,000 tickets available for $39.
Wow. That's a good chunk. That is.
So in a house that holds 1,100 to 1,200 seats, that's 10 shows. No, yeah, 10 shows that they're basically giving away. It's amazing. Look, the audience here
shows?
Is stunned.
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah. If you consider the whole
and house. It's a limited run. So it's I think they're only running for, well, I can tell you actually, it's probably in here somewhere. I don't know. It's a limited run. Slave Play looks amazing. I've heard people, one of the podcasts I listened to just raved about it and how amazing it is and how it's life-changing for people that see it, which is, you know, what theater is supposed to do.
Yes.
If you ask me.
And once again, today is the day I agree.
The last thing I want to talk about, well, the second to last thing I want to talk about before we go to break, is West Side Story announced their full casting for the Broadway production, which coincidentally or not is basically the same time that the movie's coming out, the Sondheim movie.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So, but it is not without controversy. So they are hiring.
As they like to say in English?
Controversy.
Yes.
23 of these in English, I get it.
Yeah, I hate
that. 23 of these actors are making their Broadway debuts in this show.
Dun, dun, dun.
Isaac Powell, who was in Once on This Island, will be Tony. Shireen Pimentel, she is an undergraduate at Juilliard right now, and she made her debut in The Lion King at 9 years old, is going to play Maria. The controversy is around the person that has been hired to play Bernardo, and it's Amar Ramasar. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but he was a New York City Ballet. He was kicked out of New York City Ballet for sending sexually explicit photographs of female colleagues.
He was part of, there was like four or five of them embroiled in this, and he was a big part.
And he was a huge part of it, and he was never denied.
Nope.
So this is a person that by all...
It was all shoved under the rug. Like,
well, yeah. he was fired. The union got him rehired.
Mm-hmm.
But in today's day and age, there's so many other people. It created quite a stir about why would you give this person who... By most of the facts around it is a sexual predator. Why would you give this person the role of a lifetime?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I know.
So it's interesting. The other thing interesting, they've hired, now I do not know this person, Anna Teresa de Kirschmaker, is an avant-garde choreographer who's doing the choreography. So that should be interesting. And this person's name is pronounced two different ways. I've heard it both ways. So it's Ivan Van Hove, who did
He did A View from the Bridge. He also did Lazarus. And he's
done good stuff.
He does really dark, very cutting edge theater. Wow. So should be interesting.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to say, just because I'm going to play some.
Yeah, I left. I saw that ballet. I was like, not the ballet guy.
Yeah, no,
woo!
Amazing. We'll talk about
it.
There's
it wasn't
an art-
that long ago. That's why I think it's so weird.
Yeah,
like-
I know. It did happen, I believe, before Weinstein, but I'm not sure. New York Musical Theater Festival started, I think, about a week ago and is going to play for another month, I think. And as we know, this is where we found Clinton the Musical.
You go see Clinton the Musical during it?
It also had... title of show came from the New York Musical Theater Festival. So I went and just looked at some of the things that they're doing. We're going to play some music from a couple of them.
What's the one?
There will be a link on offstageonair.com to the New York Theater Festival website where you can get information about their shows. What we're going to play right now is a song called When a Little Child Leads Them. It's from a show called Till, about Emmett Till. And it focuses on his mother and how she dealt with this. And Emmett Till was a young African-American boy who was traveling in Mississippi. He's from up north somewhere. And he whistled at a white woman and was killed for it. They beat him and killed him brutally and then tied him with something to weight him down, put him in the Tallahassee River. He was discovered. His mother flew his body up to... I can't remember where he's from. And insisted that they have an open casket funeral to call attention to the stuff that was going on down in the South. And I think that act by his mother did a lot to bring light to the atrocities that was happening in the South at that time. So this is a song called, I said it once and now I got to look at it again, called When a Child Leads Them.
When a little child leads them.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Hello, it's Sharon Chapson.
Both of us. You know, I just realized I believe that microphone was on that whole time. So they heard us chit-chatting. Sorry, everybody. I don't like to call attention to my mistakes, but there you go.
We weren't saying anything bad.
No, we weren't. We were saying good things. So that was a really, really great conversation.
That was a really great conversation. So, you had some good stuff in your little news line today, lady.
Hey, Sonny, can you do me a favor?
Yes,
right into the microphone. Can you give me a number between 2 and 53?
22.
Let's see what 22 is. Don't go away, everybody.
Hi, I'm Caressa Cameron, Miss America 2010, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM.
Miss America.
Miss America. She always pops up here and there, Miss America.
She does. So,
2010.
We're here to talk to Georgetown Palace Theater, who hasn't been on this show in a long time. And that makes me sad.
It
has been a while. So, y'all are doing a show called Forever Plaid. Who wants to tell us about this show? Oh, let me introduce everybody that's here. Sorry, that would be good of me. We have Will Tabareth.
Correct.
Hi. I'm just trying to go in order. That's the hard part here. Sonny Bolshak.
Bushak.
Yeah, I didn't go in order. so I'm just not gonna. Buddy Novak.
Yes.
And Billy Gilbert.
That's me.
Okay. Somebody tell us what this show's all about. Just do it.
Forever Plaid is a show about the way it opens up. Is it? There's an animation that talks about who these four characters are. They come from the 50s, and they're all high school buddies.
Don't we all?
And they. Formed a quartet singing group because they wanted to model themselves after their idols like the four Aces and people like that. And they were on their way to go pick up some tuxedos that they had specially made for them, and they were slammed by a school bus. I'm not going to go much further than that. But
yeah, well,
that's
that
basically where the story picks up.
So these are ghosts, if you will. We think.
We
don't know.
We're trapped between worlds.
Get right up on that microphone,
Trapped Billy. Between worlds.
Trapped between worlds. TBW, we like to call that.
TBW.
It's a wonderful show. It's kind of a jukebox musical, is it not?
Yes.
It is, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for being on the show. So while we're chatting here, we like to show how the sausage is being made here on Offstage and On the Air. I know in a little while you're going to sing a song. In order for you to sing the song, you need to have headphones on. So they're
I'm
going to
start passing and everybody's going to need to.
They should be right there.
Oh, boy. Do your dial in front of you.
Yeah, and they may need your headphones as well. Okay. So, but we're going to keep talking at the same time. So tell me about the different roles you guys play. We'll start over here with you, Sonny.
Buddy.
I'm clearly
they're
having
next
problems
to each
with
other,
Sonny
though,
and Buddy.
But
yes.
They're right next to each other.
Buddy.
So
again, we're interchangeable.
Buddy. You know, there's a song called Buddy's Song, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what show it's from?
No.
Follies.
Follies. Oh. By somebody named an up-and-coming songster
named Esteban.
Sondheim. So tell us, Buddy, what role you play.
I play Smudge. He is the bass of the group.
Okay.
He's kind of the worrier. He's the one that makes sure that everyone is doing what they're supposed to. He gets all the props together. He's kind of the shy one that doesn't really seem to want to be a part of the group, but
like
is
me.
There anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I would play.
He's very subtle, like my shirt.
Sonny, what about you? We should say that Buddy is wearing a very colorful shirt with, I call it floral.
It's floral arrangement.
It's a floral, but it's, you know, typically florals are like arrangements. These are like individual flowers.
This is like gay rights.
There you go. LGBTQ right there in front of me. But I will take umbrage with that because straight people could wear that too.
It's true.
I'm just saying. And here we have with the Abbey Road t-shirt on, are you a Beatles fan?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, good.
just a little.
All right.
With a big grin while saying it.
Sonny Bushak.
Yes.
Tell us about your role.
I play Sparky, and he is the class clown of the group. Like the others, he's very thrilled and very nervous to be performing after 55 years in purgatory stasis. But he covers it up sort of with energy and showmanship and humor.
Awesome. And Billy, who do you play?
I'm playing Jinx. He is the tenor of the group. He's kind of characterized as just sort of being generally nervous, but happy to be there. He loves to make music with his friends.
Awesome. And Will?
My character is Frankie, and basically he is the... Oh, stop. I always forget who I play.
His real name is Francis.
Thank you for that. Frankie is kind of like the leader of the group. He's the one who... he makes sure that everybody's got the right choreography, make sure that their lyrics are right, make sure that, you know, he's like the father figure, the papa bear of the group. Yeah.
Cool. There's a narrative to this.
Yes.
Correct?
There is.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything you want to say about the narrative, or does that give stuff away?
I don't think it would give away. I mean, it's really just kind of their personal journey to accepting what has happened to them and where they are. It's funny that you mentioned that it's a jukebox because it comes off as a review, but it really uses the music to sort of drive that narrative of, you know, them accepting what's happened to them and where they're going.
Yeah, I think a lot of jukebox shows, it's kind of just they showcase the music, and this does a good job of that, but it also really shows off who these people were.
Right.
There's a lot of good moments of us just talking to the audience, telling our stories, and I think that's a really cool thing that the show
does. Well, y'all are, can y'all hear through your headphones?
Yes. Yeah.
Great. Are you ready to do the song?
Sure.
Does somebody want to set it up for us?
So this is the song that really opens the show, I guess. Yeah,
it's the first song that they sing back together,
right,
I
together.
Guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So here we go. This is Buddy Novak, Will Tabaris, Billy Gilbert, and Sonny Bushak singing a song from Georgetown Palace Theater's production of Forever Plaid.
Three coins in the fountain, each one seeking happiness,
thrown by three hopeful lovers, which one will the fountain bless?
Three hearts in the fountain, each heart longing for its home.
There they lie in the fountain,
ooh, where?
Somewhere in the heart of Rome.
Ooh, which one will the fountain bless? Which one will the fountain bless? coins in the fountain. Through the ripples, how they shine.
Just one wish will be granted.
Ooh, which?
One heart will wear a valentine.
Make it mine, make it mine, make it mine. Ooh, which one will the fountain bless? Which one will the fountain bless? Three coins in the fountain. Ripples, how they shine.
Just one wish will be granted.
Ooh, which?
One heart will wear a valentine.
Make it mine, make it mine, make it mine.
My gosh, beautiful.
Thank you.
It's just hard not to love harmonies like that.
That's part of why Forever Plaid is a good show. I was about to say Plaid Tidings, and I'm like, that's the Christmas
that's
one. That's
a different one.
That's the sequel.
So, yes, I know. And the Christmas, but I was all like, that's just about the Plaid. But I love them all. That's the whole point.
So that's beautiful. So, and very, like, seemingly right on tune. So, who's your music director over there at Georgetown Palace?
Jonathan Borden.
Jonathan Borden. Well, you just tell Jonathan you did a great job with your voices.
Don't tell
him. Because from what I heard before, none of you could sing before this.
Right. Right. No, not at all. Actually, he taught us everything we know.
He did a great job.
He's probably listening right now.
Well, good. I hope he is. And shout out to him. That was a gorgeous, gorgeous song. Mm-hmm. So y'all have not opened yet, have you?
No, we opened this Friday.
This Friday. How are rehearsals going?
Really good.
Really well.
Yeah.
Good, okay.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Thanks for being on the show. Well, you know, that's great. Do y'all do any kind of invited dress or anything like that?
Well,
I'm not inviting people to see it. I'm just asking whether you do.
We have our final dress rehearsal tomorrow night,
uh-huh.
and that's where we can invite, you know, our close family or.
Right.
Just so you get the reactions and the people.
So the wonderful thing about Georgetown Palace Theater, and I was reminded as I looked at their website yesterday, is how many shows it does up there in Georgetown.
You do
probably 8 or 9 per season, if not 14 per season. Well, I can't count. So that is amazing. And so with that number, are y'all all from the Georgetown area?
No.
North Austin.
Yeah.
I'm in North Austin.
Yeah. I'm in mid Austin.
And have you? So I think all of you, with the exception of one, have done Georgetown shows before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Am I right?
I've been there for about 5-6 years now.
Well, you're not there right now. You're at.
They let him out.
They hold me hostage.
Yeah. And so, Sonny, this is your first Georgetown.
That's correct.
How's the experience been for you?
It's been thrilling. It's unlike anything I've done before.
I'm just going to say that's a good thing.
It is.
Well, we are. I mean, and it's a lovely theater. And for those of us that live in Austin that bristle at the idea of traveling up to Georgetown, don't. It's a beautiful little town square. If you haven't seen it, you can make an evening of it. Curtain is at what time?
7:30.
7:30. So be aware, it's not an 8 o'clock.
Lisa
curtain.
And I learned that once the hard way. I've learned that lesson several ways. It was one of the first shows they did that on. Yeah. So, but then we did it again.
But then again, we also have a show on Sunday matinee at 2:30.
At 2:30, that's the dentist's favorite time.
Uh-huh.
It's true. Well, great. So you open on Friday. How
it's
long?
It's actually
at
2 o'clock on Sunday.
Oh,
it's 2 o'clock. Yes. So dentist doesn't like that time as much.
Yeah. Will be late for all the shows.
So you open on Friday. When do you? How long do you play?
Through August 18th.
Through August 18th. And where can folks? Thank you.
Whatever
for that.
The Sunday.
One month.
Where can folks go to get information?
GeorgetownPalace.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
I hope all of you or some of you can stick around and join us backstage.
Yes.
But I really do appreciate it. And beautiful voices. Keep that going.
Thank you.
That was Buddy Novak, Will Tabarez, Billy Gilbert, Sonny Bushak, and then Rachel Britton over here. And then Buddy's mom.
Yes.
Sonny's mom, Buddy's mom, who doesn't have a name.
Her name is Pandy Novak.
Pandy Novak. Yay,
and she's one of our wonderful
you.
Spot ops. She is.
She's a spot op. First time for four spot ops.
Yes.
I understand they closed off part of the balcony to make
they
that
did.
Happen.
They did. They got rid of some
chairs in someone's office.
I know the whole story. There with Georgetown Palace Theater's Forever Plaid by Stuart Ross, playing July 19th through August 18th at the Georgetown Palace Theater. For more information, georgetownpalace.com. We'll be back.
Heart and soul, I fell in love with you.
And we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Lisa and Nicole.
Let's just talk a little bit very shortly, because, of course, you know, we always go over local things. I want to start right off the bat with mentioning something I meant to mention last week. And we may have talked about it before. I wouldn't be surprised. But it always helps to bring this up again. There is a legacy fund in honor of Dr. Billy Harden, who passed away last year in April. And this is a tax-deductible donation for the fund. And Billy, Dr. Harden was instrumental in starting Spectrum, worked really closely with Boyd Vance. And so
he was one heck of a guy.
Yeah. And amazing. He's been on this show several times.
Yep.
And he's a very, very he was a very wonderful, wonderful man, and he's very missed.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go and get a link to that site at either through Spectrum Theater, and I believe that's spectrumtheater.org, or austincreativealliance.org.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I meant to bring it up last week.
Something, so that was exciting when I saw that.
And we usually have them on the show, but I don't believe they're going to be coming on this year. Summerstock Austin is kicking in. So I just want to tell folks that's going on over at the Long Center on the Rollins stage. And that is high schoolers and I believe young college doing shows in repertory, real repertory, where you're doing one show one day and another show the next day. And they do full-scale produced musicals.
Ginger Morris works them.
Ginger Morris works them. Alan Robertson works them. Adam Robertson.
They're so close it can happen, I know.
They know. Anyway, so on July 19th, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying opens, one of my favorite shows.
Yes. Did you know a secretary is not a toy?
No, my boy. Mm-hmm. Remember, the name Lionel is not on her caboose. Does anybody get anybody of the younger set get that reference at all?
No.
Lionel makes trains.
Yeah.
And a caboose used to be part of a train.
Train, yeah.
Anyway.
Guess what? I was with you and I totally got it.
So there's always an original musical written by Alan Robertson. This one is called Haunted, A Ghost Story. It opens July 23rd. And finally, Sister Act opens on July 26th. For more information, summerstockaustin.eitherorg.com. Or you could just search for Summerstock Austin.
The Summerstock Austin.
So now it's time for
today
in theater.
In theater history. Happened, Lisa?
I'm going to tell you in just a second.
Tell me.
Whoop, 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 whoop. I just went into total Three Stooges.
Oh.
Whatever the guy that goes whoop, whoop, whoop. So we're going to start in 1953.
Oh.
A mere 5 years before I was born.
Yes. What happened?
So
it was before the man walked on the moon.
It was. Mm-hmm. 10 years before, as a matter of fact. Or 11 years, actually. Maude Adams died at the age of 80. She was born in 1873. At the age of 32, she originated the role of Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I did know about the Maude. Because who doesn't know about people named Maude? That is the greatest name ever.
Well, I just know the
Bea Arthur's
TV
one
show.
Of my favorite Maudes. I know. See, there we are again. Old people.
So,
or old Lisa.
1985 was a revival of Ben Levy's Springtime for Henry at the Roundabout.
I don't remember that.
I don't either. But it starred Peter Evans, Tova Feltsche, George Martin, and Jodie Falcon. And it was directed by Toby Tanner, who I worked with once before.
85?
Right. And it was, I don't know when the original happened, but it was the inspiration for Springtime for Hitler for the 1968 film of Mel Brooks. Yes, the producers. So the original had to be before 1968.
Yeah.
Just saying. If I'm doing my math correctly.
You were correct.
In the year 2000, Christmas in July. Irving Berlin's White Christmas opened for the first time.
You and
time.
I snow.
We did. Snow. Howard Keel, Karen Mason, Leroy Reams, and Laura Teeter. And then
Leroy, we've had Leroy on
we
the
have.
Show.
We have a legal ID from Leroy Reams. In 2008, we talked about it earlier, title of show, was part of, hold on, I'm going to read this because I love it. One of my favorite shows is I'd rather have one favorite thing than nine people, one person's favorite, I'd rather be one person's favorite thing than nine people's first favorite. Anyway, so this thing opens, the musical that would rather be nine people's favorite thing than 100 people's ninth favorite thing.
Something about a Rice Krispie treat.
Yeah, at the Lyceum. And the show that I, the one show that I did on Broadway is mentioned in it, so that's good.
That's right.
Yep. And in 2014, this is the death anniversary of one Elaine Stritch. May she rest in peace.
Yep. We've had Elaine on.
We did, I think.
Yeah. And my brother did her spotlight, speaking of spotlights.
That's correct.
She was in town.
All right, we got to roll because we're late. So, birthdays. James Cagney. Phyllis Diller.
That crazy Phyllis.
Donald Sutherland. Diane Carroll. Ethel Eichenberger, who I know.
This is a crazy group of folks.
Lucy Arnaz, who's also been on this show.
Yes, she has.
David Hasselhoff, who I've spoken to on
yes.
the phone.
He's a night rocker.
And also, oh gosh, what's her name? Catherine Christine. Somebody I worked with in Cloud 9 when it opened. She also died on this. She just died.
Oh.
She died yesterday, the day before.
Oh.
And I was going to bring her in, but I don't know if anybody would know her by name, but I did. So anyway, let's go out and listen to a little bit of the dulcet tones of Miss Stritch.
Okay.
Why do the wrong people travel.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Hello, Nicole and Lisa.
Lisa und Nicole Das Musical.
Yes. Oh.
Das
Musical. Yeah. Can we put it in rep with Rocky Das Musical?
Yes, of course.
And any like Das Musical extravaganza.
And Waitress Das Musical.
Waitress Das Musical.
Waitress, by the way, I didn't mention, is closed. They posted their closing notice. They played for 4 years. 1,544 performance when they closed. They made back their 12 million 10 months.
Yeah.
It is a record for the Brooks Atkinson, which is where they're playing. And it's the first show, Broadway show in history, to have an all-female production team.
Isn't that crazy? Had a lot of milestones and accomplishments on this.
Pretty
you
amazing.
Should be very proud. And
I will say mazel tov to Waitress.
I will say hats off.
And the other thing that they said in there that gave them, and I don't think this is really worthy of a milestone, but it's the first Broadway musical to have a pie consultant.
Yes, it is the first Broadway musical to have a pie consultant. Have pies?
Yes, exactly. Probably the last. So, you know, the Vortex Rep has a youth program, and the Vortex Rep does some amazing, amazing pieces. And we hear for every year they have the Summer Youth Theater, and this year they are producing a show called Alice's Wonderland by Ingrid Osland. And we have the company manager here, Avery Baker. Hi, Avery.
Hi.
We have Abigail Lehman.
Hi.
Am I pronouncing your name right, Abigail?
Yeah, Abigail. Okay. Lehman.
Speak into that thing. Well, I'm
Abigail.
Okay,
Lehman.
There you are. Okay, I couldn't hear you in my little headphones. And Isaac Bowie.
Hello.
So I do have to start this interview off by saying the very first theatrical production I was ever in was at the Alley Theater in a show for kids called The Yellow Brick Road, and I play the Three of Hearts in the Alice in Wonderland scene.
In the Yellow Brick Road?
Yeah, they had all of them.
I was about to say, I knew your first role you ever played was the Three of Hearts. I never knew
hearts.
It had to
Here
do
it
with
is.
The Yellow Brick Road.
Paint roses white. Paint roses red. I'd rather paint the queen instead.
Hup,
2, 3, 4. Okay, but that's guessing this is not what this show is.
Not quite. Not exactly.
Tell us what this show is.
So this show is a modern retelling of Alice in Wonderland, as you can imagine. And what's interesting about this show is that, one, there's a lot of really unique and interesting physicality by the actors, and they're doing a really great job. And it also kind of has a new take on Alice's real life. We put it where she's in this very religious school for troubled children. They call it Dinah School for Troubled Children. And it's clear that she's a little bit more troubled than the other students. So it kind of gives you a different perspective about the story.
Interesting. And so what do we play? Abigail, what do you play?
I play the Duchess and Tweedledum, and then Tweedledum.
Tweedledum, that's got to be the funnest thing.
Yeah, that's right.
It is really fun. We have this super upbeat musical number, and it's like all singing and all dancing. It's a lot of fun.
Cool.
And then I also play Willa, which is the regular person counterpart of Tweedledum.
So if I'm if I'm doing my math correctly, you're playing three roles.
Yes.
Amazing. Isaac, what about you?
I play Warren, which is just a I don't know,
guy in charge.
Yes, guy in charge. I work at the school, and I'm very I don't know how to explain it.
Firm.
Yes. Firm. Yes. Uptight.
So you're mean.
Uptight. Yes. Yeah. He just added uptight to that.
Uptight guy. When you do it in your uptight guy. That was that. You know, a lot of people don't know that was the original lyric.
Was that original? That
yeah. So this is written by Ingrid Oslund. Is this an original piece? Is this the first time it's ever produced, or is this something that y'all pulled?
I think it's either the first or the second, but it's very new.
Okay. Awesome. And who's directing it?
It is directed by Gabriel Maldonado and Jennifer Jennings.
Oh, lovely.
Gabriel,
we love both of those people.
Gabriel, I said hi. We haven't seen him in a while.
No, we haven't. I haven't
Gabriel.
Seen Jen either, for that matter.
Yeah, so you tell both of them. Lisa and Nicole were like,
So, Avery, how long has the Summer Youth Program been in existence? Do you know?
I think it's been about 16 years.
16
give
years.
Give or take a few years.
Yeah. So the Vortex Theater is one of our oldest running theaters here in town.
They are. They do a lot of great things. And how long have all of you, is this been involved in the program? Is this your first, second?
This is my second year.
Oh, and how about you?
This is my first summer youth theater. I've been doing theater for two to three years. Yes.
Yeah. So are y'all, so may I ask, are we still in school?
Yes.
Yes.
I know you're 15. Out for the summer.
Yeah, I'm going to be a sophomore next
you're
year.
You're a rising sophomore. Yes. We know this.
Yes, we learned rising recently. We love using it.
And Isaac?
I am going to be an upcoming freshman.
Upcoming freshman. Oh, you're a rising freshman. So from middle school to high school, correct?
Yes.
Wow,
that's a big leap. Yep.
And Avery, you're also in school, are you not?
Yes, I'm at University of Oklahoma. So. Yeah.
Now, so is the university? And forgive me, I don't know. Is university the same thing as OU?
Yes.
Okay, so you're the big rival with our school here.
I know, that's why I'm always cautious telling people. Yeah.
You're not going to get in trouble from me. You might get some trouble from her.
No, you won't get in trouble from me on that.
Okay, well, that's cool. Are you in the theater department at OU?
Yes, I'm an acting major.
Awesome, wonderful, wonderful. And you are interning here at the Vortex.
Yes, I'm the lead intern and then now their company manager, which is...
Lovely. So how's this for all three of you? Because this is really, it seems like it's a learning experience for all of you. How has this been for you? And what kind of things have you learned?
It's really great. It's such a fun program because you get to come in and you get to like be yourself and be all of these characters and work together with this team. And then you also get to like learn new things because... We're all under 18, so we still have lots of things to learn, even those of us that have been doing theater for a long time.
Some of us are 60 years old and we still have lots of things to learn.
Yeah, we're still always learning. And here's my words of wisdom. Never stop learning. There's so much stuff to learn about in life. Never stop learning.
Never stop closing. One of those two.
Yeah.
So you get a chance to learn. How long of a process is it?
I think it's almost 2 months.
Yeah, well, we had our first auditions like the second week of May, it was like May 12th. And we've just been doing it since then. And it's a very busy schedule, but very rewarding.
Yes. Awesome. And so does the program culminate in this show or is this just part of it?
I'd say that the program mostly revolves around the show and giving them that new experience of having to rehearse pretty much every single day. It's a pre-professional training program, so it's very intense. But, I mean, I can tell that every student has improved drastically, and they are all having a great time. And it's wonderful to see that.
Lovely. So this show, Alice's Wonderland, when does it open?
It opens this Friday.
And how long is it going to play?
We have two weekends. This weekend is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 8 p.m.
Uh-huh.
And next weekend is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 8 p.m.
Yes. And so, okay, great. Exciting. And where can folks go to get more information?
If you want to get more information, go to vortexrep.org.
Great.
And that'll have everything there.
Well, thank you so much. Hopefully y'all can stick around. We're going to learn a bit more about you backstage.
Yeah, we'd love to.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, that was Avery Baker, Abigail Lehman, and Isaac Bowie of Vortex Rep Summer Youth Program. Theater production of Alice's Wonderland, July 19th through 27th at the Vortex. For more information, vortexrep.org. We will be super duper right back. Oh my God, the time just went flying by.
Time always flies by.
Flying by.
Never get out everything.
I don't know what the heck is happening.
Because we live in a time machine.
Yeah, well, so we did it. Again, there's some, I just would like to encourage folks to go to offstageonair.com, click the link for the transgender opera singer, or go to the New York Times and just search for transgender opera singer. It's an amazing article. I think our listeners would really appreciate it. Austin Monitor News is next if you're listening on the terrestrial radio.
Yes.
And why would you do that when you could listen to it on the podcast by getting it through iTunes or Stitcher? Or Google Play, or you can get it right from our website, right?
Yeah, offstageonair.com. Just enter your email in the little box on the right, and voila, Lisa and I will appear in your mailbox.
Excellent.
Well, right on time.
Yeah, we're going to walk away, and I don't have the piece of paper with the what it is, but it's, again, from the New York Musical Theater Festival. It's from a show called Buried. It's got a wacky description. I don't remember what it was. And I got rid of the paper. This is called Then I Realized. We'll see you next week, when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. We will be back.
We were at a wedding.
A wedding.
Huh? Maid of honor and best man to two old school friends.
Steve.
Marie.
She brought over two drinks and said,
would you like to dance with me?
Okay. The curtain has just come down on Buddy Billy Sonny. The musical, the story of a quartet that only has three people. Anyway, but the show's come down. We're outside. We've gone outside the stage door. We're out here next to the dumpsters. It smells just lovely. Dumpsters is the original pronunciation. Anyway, joining us here today is we have Buddy Novak.
Yeah.
Yay. We have Sonny Bushak.
Hello.
We have Billy Gilbert.
Hello.
Over here, we have Avery Baker.
Hello.
Abigail Lehman.
Hello.
And Isaac Bowie.
Hi.
We're all here. And no, we have, well, clearly, since none of you had been on the show before, none of you have been backstage before. So this, I'm really excited. This is where we get to learn a little bit about you. And there's a whole bunch of us, so we're not going to learn a whole bunch about you, but we're going to learn a little bit about you. So, Billy, I want to start with you, only because you told a lovely story about West Side Story and Body Bags, which was going to be the original musical I was going to say at the opening, and then I got side-shifted at the very end. Where are you from? You from here?
Alaska.
Get that microphone right in front of you.
Alaska, originally.
Alaska, I've heard of that.
Yeah, Fairbanks, Alaska.
Have you watched the new, this is, I'm going to go right to television, the new Twilight Zone?
No, I have not.
There's an episode that happens in Alaska.
Oh, I'll have to check
there
it out.
There you go. So you're from Fairbanks.
That's correct.
And what, did you do theater in Fairbanks?
Not a whole lot. So I originally came down to Texas to El Paso, actually, to study music.
Okay.
So I was, I'd gotten interested in it. I did a lot of choir and stuff in high school, decided I wanted to pursue it and felt that I needed to get away from my hometown to somewhere I could really focus on it. So it brought me to El Paso.
So, why El Paso? From Fairbanks. That makes zero sense.
No,
to
it doesn't. So I met a voice teacher who was at the University of Texas, El Paso. And when you're studying voice or really any, you know, instrument, it's really the connection with the teacher that's the most important thing.
Okay.
So I really clicked with the teacher. He happened to be at UTEP, so that's where I went.
Did you learn Tu Lo Sai?
I did not learn Tu Lo Sai.
Okay, all right, whatever. Supposed to learn Tu Lo Sai. So when you were taking voice, what discipline in voice? Are you learning classical voice? Or?
Yeah, so initially I started off studying opera.
Okay, so you should have sung Tu Lo Sai, but that's I'll call your voice
Granada.
Teacher.
Okay. That counts.
I don't really know what that is. I only know Tu Lo Sai.
So I started off studying opera and then kind of wound up falling in love with musical theater. So I've done a fair bit of both, but more musical theater, especially.
So did that happen in El Paso?
Yeah. So I spent, I think, 3 years on the Young Artist Program with El Paso Opera. Okay. There's also an amazing little dinner theater called the UTEP Dinner Theater. It's on the UTEP campus, of course.
I don't know that you can say the word amazing and dinner theater in the same
tremendous.
Sentence.
It's,
just saying.
It's this bizarre little gem where the director there is friends with Tim Rice. Uh-huh. So they do a lot of stuff with Tim Rice. He always says that it was the American non-Broadway premiere of Chess was done at that theater.
Okay.
So I actually got to do a production of Chess, which, you know, not everybody gets to do, but they do a really, really great work there.
I saw Chess in London when it first opened there, and then I saw it on Broadway when it opened there. Two wildly different productions.
Very.
And what I liked about the London version, I didn't like about in the U.S. version. Interesting. Well, that's fascinating. Anybody? So did you find the article about transgender opera singers interesting?
Oh, tremendously.
It's an amazing piece.
I'm very interested in that, especially because of what you were talking about with the way the hormones impact the mm-hmm. voice and whatnot. I think that's a very fascinating thing that, you know, you mentioned that it was something that wouldn't have been done 10 years ago. So
wouldn't have been accepted 10 years ago.
Yes, precisely. So I imagine there's not a lot of studies about it as far as the opera context goes.
I'm going to guess probably approximately zero.
Yeah. And actually, the one friend of mine that did go on to do an opera career has done a show that I believe is called As One.
Mm-hmm.
He's done that in a number of different places.
We talked about that. It's about a trans character.
Yeah, he's played the baritone role mm-hmm. in several professional productions.
So the man that I forgot his name, I don't have my notes in front of me, that came to Austin to do the role, and we ascertained that it was done at UT, it's Texas Performing Arts, and I knew about it ahead of time. But that show, he was brought in to audition for that role.
Okay.
And they heard him sing something else and had him come in and do that. So amazing. So what was the first musical, what was the musical that tipped you over the other direction to the dark side?
I guess at that point probably it was the Full Monty.
Okay.
So that was the first
interesting choice.
It was the first real musical I ever did. Uh-huh. And I kind of just jumped into it, and it was a tremendous cast that was all very close and extremely talented and just a lot of fun. I love opera. I still love opera to this day, but I don't think it compares musically. Musical theater does, but it's just not as fun. Musical theater is so much more fun.
It depends. If you're a supernumerary in a big opera, I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah. And that's fair, but it's very taxing. That's the other thing too. You know, musical theater I feel is easier as a working professional to do as a hobby and, you know, be able to jump in and out. And when I would do productions with El Paso Opera, you know, I would have to take off work for 3 weeks, things like that.
Cool. So. Well, that is amazing. Anybody else from Alaska? No. Avery, are you from Oklahoma?
No, I'm from here. I'm from Austin.
Oh, okay. And you went to OU?
Yeah, I'm still
interesting.
Going there,
Yeah, so what high school did you go to here?
I went to Pflugerville High School.
Pflugerville.
Yes, Pflugerville. Uh-huh. And I was taught by Cheryl Painter and Dustin Parks, and they are amazing.
Lovely. So you're part of the musical theater program there?
No, we didn't do a whole lot of musicals.
They
do now, yeah. But when I was there, we mostly did straight plays. Mm-hmm. And I would also do a lot of summer theater at Taos Camp, which was at Southwestern University, and now it's at Baylor. And, you know, I did some stuff in New York and fun stuff. But
what'd you do in New York?
I went to the AMDA camp mm-hmm. acting for the stage.
They're in the Ansonia Hotel, or it used to be in the Ansonia Hotel on 73rd Street.
Yeah,
Broadway.
It was mm-hmm. very exciting. I mean, I paid for pretty much all of it on my own, and I was 16 and went by myself, so it was
Well, that's got to be very, very exciting.
It really was. It was cool, and I developed my love for New York.
Did you get to see some Broadway shows while you were there?
Yeah.
What did you see?
That summer, I was there for 4 or 5 weeks, and I saw like six.
Really great. Give us your favorite one of the six.
The Curious Incident of the Dog and the Night.
Okay.
Beautiful show.
Yes, did you see it when it was here as well?
No,
no,
didn't.
You were up in Oklahoma.
Not as much up there.
yeah. A little bit of a different production here. Mm-hmm. Well, that's amazing. So you have a love for New York. Do you see yourself moving there?
There's so many options that I've been looking at. I have such a love for Shakespeare and classical theater. So.
He's dead, you know. I mean, you can love him all you want. He's not going to call you.
Well, I know that.
I'm teasing.
There's so many really really great Shakespeare festivals in there this country. Indeed. And some of them are in places that you wouldn't expect. So I'm definitely keeping an open mind. I would love to go to New York or Chicago or LA. I mean, I love film too.
Okay.
But I just am itching to do some classical theater right now.
Well, you have a lot of options in front of you. So
yeah.
So that's cool. And this is sort of, so we know that the three gentlemen here that are doing falsettos sing. Is everybody else singing or taking singing lessons?
Yes, I sing.
Okay.
She's
Abigail
really
does.
Good at it.
Isaac is like pretending he's not hearing the question. You have to speak into the microphone when you talk. What was the question?
What was the question?
Are you singing or taking singing lessons?
No, I am not.
So you must.
I sing.
You sing. Shower in the shower. Well, what is your story, Isaac? What brought you to the Vortexes program?
What brought me to the Vortex?
Yeah, and don't say car.
Well, my theater teacher in middle school, mm-hmm. I was looking for theaters to do during summer or something like that.
Okay.
And I decided to audition for Alice's Wonderland, of course. And my theater teacher, Miss Bryant, she is a great teacher.
Shout out to Miss Bryant.
Yeah, shout out to Miss Bryant. Yes.
Yeah.
That is what brought me to the Vortex.
So you're taking theater. Are you the rising freshman? No, you're the.
Yes, I am. You are the rising freshman.
So you're leaving middle school. So you're saying goodbye to Miss
Bryant. Yes.
And are you going to be taking theater in high school?
Yes, I am.
And what high school will you be going to?
Aikens High School.
Aikens. They do a musical. I'm just saying. That was a statement of fact. Great. So are you going to be taking theater classes in high school?
Yes, I am. Yes,
okay.
I will.
What other things? Are you doing band or anything like that as well?
I am doing band. I am playing the tuba.
Tuba, yes. The sousaphone.
Yes.
Yes, I know all about it. So, you know, they do the big tuba. They have a big tuba Christmas thing with like a million tubas here in town.
Sounds horrible. Yeah.
It's actually quite lovely. It's just those deep, deep resonant tones.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Times like 50 is pretty amazing to hear. Well, that's great. Are you going to march?
Yes, I am. They are very heavy, and it's hard to walk with it, too. It's like my back aches like every time we go.
Wouldn't be
up.
What I would choose. I would go with a kazoo.
The kazoo.
We have some kazoo in our show, so.
Oh,
yes. Pretty excited.
That's...
Everyone knows a good show has to have a kazoo. Yeah.
Absolutely. Or tissue paper and a comb, which is where the kazoo started. And it is a lyric from a show called Sweet Charity, in case you wondered. Sunny, what's your story?
So I come from Round Rock, Texas,
far-off
land.
Uh-huh.
And I used to be a choir kid, but in seventh grade in middle school, they forced the choir kids and the theater kids to do a musical together. And that was... the moment that I knew that I wanted to keep doing this.
What was the musical that they made y'all do together?
It's been so long. I think it was just called Pirates the Musical.
Pirates? Okay, I know Pirates.
Yeah.
So, well, forgive me. You look kind of young. It didn't seem like it could be that long ago.
Well, I'm 19.
Yeah, that's not that long ago.
Yeah.
So, are you in college?
Yes, I'm studying theater at Southwestern University.
Oh, up in Georgetown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say for you down in Georgetown, but it's not. It's still up in Georgetown for you.
Yeah,
they have a good theater department there. I was just actually chatting with someone who was the used to be head of the theater department.
Oh, yeah.
Not there anymore. Before your time. Okay. So how do you like studying theater?
I love it. The program at Southwestern is very intensive,
uh-huh.
Which means I don't get a lot of chances to go out into community theater
right.
and do musicals and whatnot. But what I do learn there is very valuable, and they're very committed to helping their students grow into that career path.
Do you have an idea what your goals are post-graduation?
I know that I would love to be in musicals, and I would love to do more devised work.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. They do go together, sort of. Yeah. And are you, we know you sing. I'm presuming yes. You act.
Yeah.
Are you taking dance?
I...
Oh, you know what? Yeah, you already lose. Yeah, the answer should have been an unqualified yes, and I will challenge you, especially if you want to make a living at this. Yeah. You have to be a triple threat. You really yes. lower your... That's one of the things that I didn't do, and it kills me. So I strongly suggest getting okay. into some dance classes.
Yeah.
Especially if you plan to go to New York or even Chicago.
Okay.
But definitely New York.
I'll make sure yeah. to look into Go, that.
Make sure you do. I'm definitely, and I'm going to want a full report.
Yeah. I'm definitely stronger on, I think singing would be my strongest out of the three. I'm also transgender, female to male. Uh-huh. So I started off my musical theater experience as a soprano and became a tenor. And I can tell you, like that article, I don't sing opera, but you do have to entirely retrain your voice for the new
well,
vocal range.
That rocks. So I'm trying to remember. In where are you the tenor in this show?
I'm the baritone.
You're the baritone.
Yes.
Rock on, brother. That's awesome. That's awesome. So then that article resonated with you as well.
Oh, yeah.
Read it. It's really amazing. Okay. And I will say this, and the rules aren't the same back here. Ground Floor Theater, my theater, is opening in 2 weeks, and I wish I'd known about you. A devised piece about the trans community called Transom.
Oh, cool.
That opens on August 15th. Oh, and awesome. You should definitely come and see it.
I will.
And I was desperately searching for trans performers to help us devise it. And I didn't find you. But 100% of our creative team is trans or non-binary.
Oh, wow.
So it's a pretty amazing piece. That's and so cool. I'm in it. Which, yeah, no, that's not. That's actually not a good thing. But it's, for more information, groundfloortheater.org/transom. Well, awesome. So you are, what year are you going into?
I'm going into my junior year.
You're going into your junior year. So you yes. just have 2 more years before you jet off to New York to work down at Soho or at the Wooster Group and doing the devised experimental musicals.
That's the dream.
Yeah, do it. But take dance. Rarely, especially okay. if you're doing musicals, yeah. rarely do the actors just stand and sing.
Right.
It doesn't happen very often. Right, so please do that. I would love to be reading about you in the New York Times. Okay. Promise?
I promise.
Yeah, okay, good. Aww. I do want that report. Well, good. That's a wonderful story. Do read that article. It was really amazing. I did. There were so many things that touched me today. I listened to podcasts, and I was listening to a podcast called Ear Hustle. Does anybody know it?
No.
It's about the prison system. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing. They're in their like third or fourth season. I was watching it on the way here, and I was yelling at my radio because I was crying. They just touched me. So I'm just all verklempt.
I wrote a 15-page essay about the prison system that I'm trying to get published right now.
Wow.
So.
Oh, awesome. What was it? What's the bend on the...
It was an expository essay about mass incarceration, you know, systemic racism targeted against young black men, pretty much.
Huge issue. Wow.
It's pretty heavy.
Well, whole nother story, but yeah. I was yelling at the radio today when I found about the cops fully exonerated for
the
killing...
Eric Gardner?
For killing Eric Gardner. Oh, yeah. And it's like, you listen to the organ, you go, anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about.
Yeah.
That's theater of a whole other kind. That is theater of the absurd. Yeah. So, buddy, what's your story?
I grew up in Washington State.
I've heard of that place.
Yeah.
What town?
Kelso, which is...
I love Kelso.
Really?
I love
Kelso.
No, I love Kurt Kelso.
I do love Kurt Kelso.
Yeah, that's the only Kelso I really
Kelso.
Know.
Yeah. It's a very, very small town.
Uh-huh.
We grew up, we had a lot of land. It was my mom, me, my older sister.
Did you wear shirts like that in Kelso?
No, but my personality spoke for itself. And when my parents got divorced, we moved to Texas because my mom had family down here.
Austin, I hope.
No, not really. It was... around the Austin area, but never like in Austin.
Okay.
We ended up moving back there for like a year, mm-hmm. Which was a very bad idea. So we very quickly
were
moved
there,
back to Texas.
Were you there in high school years?
No. I was only here in high school. I moved here permanently when I started middle school.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, good. Well, we're glad you're here.
Yeah.
Are you living up north?
Kind of. I'm technically in Austin, mm-hmm. but it's like Avery Ranch area, yep. which is like right
I
on
know
the cusp.
Exactly where it is.
Yeah. So it's it's technically Austin, but it's right by Round Rock.
Okay, and what high school did you go to?
I went to Round Rock High School for a semester, and then it just wasn't a fit for me. I wanted to do more theater outside of school, and it wasn't allowing me to do that, so I started homeschooling and performing.
Awesome.
Elsewhere.
And where did you find that love of theater? Where did that spark happen?
I feel like it was always kind of there. My dad, his mother, formed a singing group in Washington called the Sweet Adelines.
Sweet Adelines.
Which is basically like a female barbershop group that my mom was actually a part of. So I was always kind of around that. And like when I was growing up, my favorite movie was Cats. The filmed version.
You should probably just keep that to yourself.
I know. I broadcast that way too often. But so I think it was always just kind of there.
Cool. Do you remember your first show?
My first show, I think, was You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. Oh. I did in elementary school.
You played
school.
Linus?
I played Schroeder.
Schroeder's a great part.
Schroeder is a great part. It's all about that Beethoven's Day.
I know. Beethoven.
Was it the old version, though?
No, it was the new version.
Okay, good. I did Linus, but it was the old version.
Okay, you need to speak into the microphone, but
it's
a
cute show.
I am sorry. Tell me. I don't know the difference. I've done a couple of productions. I didn't know there was an old and a new version.
It's basically just an edition of Psalms.
And oh, okay.
Isn't it a character switch? Because Sally's only in the new version.
Oh, right. Because it was with the Broadway when they did it again on Broadway.
Yeah.
I lost the word.
Yeah.
Revival. Thank you.
The revival.
I think my new philosophy was new to
was
it.
Added.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
Kristen Chenoweth.
You're right. You're right. You're right. Okay. I get
it. Yeah. So a theater has always been a part of my life, and I hope that it stays that way because it's always just, like so many people, been my only outlet to deal with things.
Awesome.
And
well, good. Well, plenty of outlets and ways to deal with things, and you're able to deal with things much more openly these days.
Yes.
Yes. If we're defining things the way I think we are. So, yeah. So awesome. And where are you in the dance genre? Are you taking dance class?
Yes. I like to think that I can move well.
He's a very, very good dancer.
Thank you.
Excellent. And in our last few moments, we don't want to forget Abigail.
Hello.
So do people say to you, Pins, Abigail, Pins? And do you know what that reference is?
Not at all.
From a little musical called 1776. So you're there at the Vortex. This is your third year, did you say?
No, my second year
at the
Vortex.
Your second year. Going into your sophomore year. And you're from Austin?
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I was born here and I've grown up here. And I started doing theater pretty young, like summer camps and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then I did my first show in third grade. I was Pumbaa in The Lion King.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Lion King Lion King?
Like on Broadway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was Pumbaa on Broadway.
No, you were. But to me, The Lion King, in my mind, I know it's been around for 25 years, but it still seems new to me. So I get it. I'm with you. It just takes me a while.
Yeah.
So you played Pumbaa.
I did.
Uh-huh.
And so at my elementary school, UT came and did like a program. So every year, starting in my third grade year, they'd come and do a musical with the school. And so we did The Lion King, and then we did The Wizard of Oz, and then Peter Pan, and then I went to middle school. Sixth grade was like it's my show horror story. We did Frozen, and I was Elsa, and it was the worst show I've ever been in.
Why?
Everyone had their scripts on stage, and I think I was the only person who didn't lip sync their song.
Oh.
And
well, that would make you shine compared to others.
True. Yes, my mom was very proud of me. Yeah. She made my dress.
Oh.
Yeah, and then middle school, I went to Fillmore, and I did theater there. And then two years ago,
right,
when I was in eighth grade, we did Beauty and the Beast, and I was Mrs. Potts. And so then this past year, I go to McCallum, which is the fine arts school.
It is indeed.
And so we do four shows a year, and I was not a part of all of them. I was in the Spring Musical. I was in the vocal ensemble for 42nd Street.
I saw that. It was great.
Thank you. Yeah, and so I'm also in choir. I do a lot of singing. That is my main thing. I really love singing.
And I love acting, too, obviously.
And what do you think you're going to do when you leave high school?
I want to do theater professionally.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to go to college? Or you're just going to jump in and do it?
No, I think I'm going to go to college for it. I don't know where. I haven't started researching schools yet.
Lots of good ones around.
Yeah.
That's great. Isaac, I didn't ask you whether you knew what you were going to do when you got out of high school. Do you know? You
have an idea? I don't know.
Well, you don't have to.
I might do theater. I am very into theater. I look forward to doing theater for the rest of my life.
Awesome. Aww. Well, good. Well, I look forward to reading about you in the New York Times as well.
Yes.
The failing New York Times, I like to call it. So Abigail, what's your if you do any musical right now? If I say to you, Abigail, I'm Scott Rudin, I'm going to produce a musical, and I want you to star in it, what would it be?
Oh, that's so tough. There's a lot of shows. I think a dream role of mine has always been Elphaba in Wicked.
Okay. So have you read the book?
No,
the book is pretty amazing.
The book is so good.
Have you read Confessions of an Ugly Stepsister?
No.
Oh, that's better.
Really?
It's better. Yeah, I love it. I love it better. Well, awesome. Well, I look forward to seeing you. Elphaba or Glinda? Did you say?
Honestly, either.
You don't care. Okay, how about both at the same time? Yeah. It hasn't been done before.
It's like
very Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
It is very Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Switch sides.
Yeah, just like Jekyll and Hyde. The only song in Jekyll and Hyde that's worth watching was that number. Well, great. Well, thank you guys for joining us backstage. I apologize at the smell of the dumpsters here, but we get used to it. Well, thanks a lot. Good luck with
clothing. Unadulterated loathing for your face,
your voice,
your clothing. Let's just say I loathe it all.